Sorry, I was a little distracted. So you're asking if the alphanumeric tags come up? Yes, they do.
And does this plug in the front of the rig or the back of the rig?
The front of the radio, in what you might refer to as the GPS port.
Okay, I'll have to borrow that from you sometime. I loaded the website here. They have a... Is the software free, or are they selling the software bundled with a hardware thing?
Okay. A couple things. Number one, the Olinco gives you driver software for their hardware device that they sell. This website makes a reference to a Olinco part number ERW4. I have an ERW7, which I think is the current device, but I thought it was a 4C, but or a 7C, but maybe it's a 4C if it's RS-232, but all those different things exist, so you can go look it up wherever you look up some Olinco catalog or even manual. It's pretty straightforward to do. The CBT software is definitely for sale. I think it's $35 direct sales buy now button. I unfortunately have bought this twice, which makes me very cranky, by the way, because the owner of the company knows you're a registered user but will not download to you a replacement disk image should you lose it, even though he has to give you a code in order to, you know, use the software. It makes me very cranky. It's $35, by the way.
Okay, thanks, N3CRT.
Yeah, this guy just doesn't give a rip. I mean, he's very helpful. He's very responsive. He answers his registration email, you know, very reliably within, let's say, an hour at the most, maybe two, of your sending a registration request in for authorization. You need one for each computer you install the software on, not for each implementation. So, for instance, in my case, on one of my laptops, I have three images of the installed software with directories for each of the radios, the 2-meter, 222, and 440 version of the radio. They all can use the same authorization code, and you only have to enter it once, and it figures it out in subsequent installations. However, if I want to do it again on another machine, he's got to give you another code, no big deal. As long as he knows that you're not pirating him to your 50 of your friends, he doesn't care. In my case, I've had installations in three places just because of, like, reliability. Each of my two laptops and one of my home computers. Okay, I'll add that in that website as well. It's cbtinc.net, for those who care. And it's called the CBTI Olinco Mobile Pack. And you can order it online, or you can order it from any one of the vendors. The best he was able to do is take off $10 if I was going to get a second disc from him. I think I did that. I don't remember at this point, but I was very, very cranky. He knew I was a licensed user. He'd given me a code before. And I'm sorry, I'm not undermining my vendors by giving you a discounted image or even a free image. It's like, you know, that's just bogus. But anyway, unfortunately, for what it does, it's the best act in town. It's very quick, direct. And as I said, it talks to the AWRL software directly. Take an output file and figure out the columns for you. It'll throw away columns it doesn't need automatically, so you don't have to sit there and do column alignments and things like that. It already knows the AWRL format as a standard thing, so it saves you a lot of aggravation and time. Sometimes you have to put up with that in order to get the functionality. Anybody else with comments, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Let's see. Charlie, I'm just kind of curious. Any progress on your tower?
Home Depot the other night, and I got pulleys and rope. And I went out to Ramsey Outdoor tonight, and I got gigantic carabiners that will open up wide and go around the vertical legs of the tower. So I'm all set, and I'm thinking possibly Saturday. Hopefully it'll get warm enough. I think it might snow a little bit, but I think it's supposed to warm up into the 40s, which isn't too bad. And I think I'm all set. I just need a mask, I think, for now. And I was going to go to KGI and see what he had for a full 40 beam, but I forgot. And 3CRT.
Okay, well, your own tower, a couple of questions come to mind. First of all, don't buy a 440 beam. I'll give you one. You can have any size you want. I have plenty in my yard. You might have to do a little rehab on them, but nothing major, and you can't beat the price. And number two, I'm kind of curious, massing, if it's 2-inch, I can give you one of those as well. Give you a piece of galvanized, no problem. And if it's other sizes, I may have something in the way of galvanized that might be a smaller diameter. We'll see. And what else? There was something else. What was it? Yes. Regarding the carabiners, are they real carabiners, or are they like, you know, hold down your gear net on your car roof? Are they real, like you climb on them? They have real ratings.
These are, this one's rated to 111 kilonewtons. It's stamped right on it, and I think it's fine.
Wow, 100 kilonewtons. That's pretty good. I'm holding one that's okay. It's a Korean one made by Trango. It's 24 kilonewtons in line, 8 left right, and 7 with the gate open. So that's not too bad.
Yeah, I think most of my stuff is 22 kilonewtons. I have a locking one that I got tonight that's 30 kilonewtons in the long axis, 10 in the short axis. And come to think of it, when I was looking at rope, because my friend does do rock climbing, and I'd like to go with him. There's even a gym here in Saddlebrook. But it's rated for like 5 or 6 kilonewtons. It's not, you know, the rope is the weakest link, I think.
That's correct, but depending on how you rig your rope, that may or may not be an issue. If you're going to buy rope for climbing, do not use it on your tower. If you want to borrow rope to use on your tower, although I think you said you had like 75 feet of junk rope, that'll probably be fine for what you're doing. But, you know, you're only doing 3 sections more, or 2 sections more plus the mass, so I think you'll be fine. Anyway, let me know as to what your needs are regarding antenna and mast, and we'll square up with that later. Saturday may be a busy day for me, but we'll see. I didn't realize there was a weather forecast of snow this weekend, which is interesting. And my goal is to get through next Thursday, and then I can relax a bit. All right, so the tower adventures continue. That's a good thing. I'm glad to see that. Any other comments on that, Charlie?
Nope, that's it for now. It's 3CRT.
Okie doke. Well, I can lend you stuff. Even if I'm not available Saturday, I can certainly give you stuff before then. That's not a problem. Just let me know. What else? What do you call it? I do have one more thing, I suppose. And that is that I'm going to be getting Fios. I ordered it. And I will have 20 megabits download maximum and 5 megabits upload. It's a 20 by 5 kind of arrangement. And that 5 megabits, even if I only can use a fraction of it for uploads, kind of suggest that, you know, doing video during these nets might be possible on the internet for diagrams and such like that. So we are going to wait that out, but over the next couple of weeks, probably before Christmas, we'll be running some tests with that. And the Fios is supposed to be installed next Thursday, and the I'm taking off Friday through Thanksgiving weekend, so that will be a good thing as well. So I will have some time on my hands to play, and so I'm looking forward to that as well. In any case, if anyone has any comments about their Fios experiences, I would be very appreciative of hearing about them at this time. This is KTBAR.
KTBAR, W-H-C-A-I.
Okay, Tom, W-H-C-A-I, noted. And who was the other station? I'm hearing doubles, boy. All right. Good, Tom. Your Fios experience.
Well, it's been for the most part good. But I've had to see a $95 bill from them. I got the Fios before they had the cable TV. As soon as the cable TV became available, I signed up for it, and they still haven't gotten the package right through the billing, and I'm paying a premium price that comes about $125 a month, which I should be paying. The most I should be paying less taxes should be $95. As far as the service goes, the service is wonderful. I have yet to have a downtime other than forgetting to pay a bill a few times, but they kick you right back on as soon as they pay the bill. The cable TV is wonderful, and the data service, the internet service is terrific. And I also have a phone service. I have three phone lines into the apartment via Fios. My fax line, my old business line, and my home line. They got me all my numbers back. No one else could do that. So, for the most part, it's been extraordinary.
Okay, very good. One of the things about guaranteeing your package is that you have to go online within so many days and go to, like, a package assertion center or something. I forget what it is. Actually, I may have a note here. I wrote to myself last night. I don't know which one it is here. But there is a station. There is a website you'll need to go to. Oh, Fios Bundle Terms is the on Verizon.net. So www.verizon.net/Fios Bundle Terms as one word. And I think that's how you secure your bundle.
Okay. I called Fios up after I started getting all these outrageous bills, and they said they corrected it for me. They said normally that's you have to do what you just described, but the guy got online for me and did it for me, but still hasn't been straightened out yet. But fantastic service, and no downtime, other than stupid downtime, like forgetting to pay a bill, things. So, and you need another Fios subscriber to work with you on this video connection for the net, let me know. Just stole the car. I have to put the mic down.
All right, very good. I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. Well, I was working with Vince, KC2KXV, on some video conferencing stuff, and I did set it up, and I have to go back to it, and I don't want to socialize it until it's all squared away, but I actually ran some tests, and it's very, very cool. I will say this, it is very cool, and what I'm primarily interested in doing it for is basically to provide diagram support, like when we were struggling to, you know, get a clear picture as to what's going on with what Jim was talking about. Someone scratched something out, a piece of paper, you hold up a piece of paper in front of a, you know, a screen, and people look at it, no big deal, that kind of thing. I really don't care to have my my smiling face, you know, sitting there on the internet while we're talking on the radio. Number one, the time lag will be just annoying. And number two, do we really need to see someone who's like me on the radio? Let's think about on the on television. Let's think about that. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here in a t-shirt, which by the way is clean, but you know, still, I think we could do better than that. So, but for media exchange purposes, I think it's a good idea. Alrighty. Anybody else have a topic? I have one a question on something really, really silly about how to fix a FT-100 knob, which is my last question for the night. Anybody else have anything more important?
W2AKR repeater.
Gentleman is erecting a tower. The Fairlawn Amateur Radio Club has a gin pole and all the stuff. I don't know if they have rope available, but they have the gin pole for assembling towers and assembling antennas. And as a member of that club, you can borrow it at any time.
Charlie?
Yeah, I got one. A sort of modified version. I know the version that they have is the kind with the clamp that clamps on, and they, I thought I talked to you, Tom, that they didn't have the mast portion, the pole portion, but they had the top and the bottom. And this one I got, it belongs to KO2OK, and it was built by W2HP, and it clips onto the cross pieces, and I'll see how it works. I'll make sure that it's all up to snuff after sitting out in the rain a little bit. We'll get it going. And I plan on returning it in better condition than I found it.
Oh, that Eagle Scout thing is kicking in again.
Yeah. Just one word of advice. Don't buy aluminum towers.
Nope, I'm putting up steel Roan 25.
Good. Everyone I know that's climbed aluminum towers has been injured by those towers. They're just not safe. My 2 cents worth. Okay, have a good day, gentlemen. I'm going to sign out. Gordon, call me if you need any files help. Not that I'm the best of sources, but who knows. W2TTT, WHSCAI, will be clearing QRT. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, Tom. Thank you very much for your comment. All right, my last question for the net is, I have an FT-100. Its tuning knob came loose. I'm looking at the knob in my hand. It's intact, except there's the very back end of the shaft has a little bit of a dimple, well, that goes all the way around. And I suspect there's some sort of like a C spring clip kind of thing that used to hold it in. I was wondering if anyone had any experience with those, and figuring out where they may go. Obviously, when I stick the shaft in, it no longer tunes properly, so that's an issue. But everything's intact except, of course, the knob wants to fall out. So I'm trying to figure out how to get the knob to stay in, and I suspect I'm going to have to open up the control head and get one of those little spring clips and probably lift the circuit board and all sorts of fun stuff. So I was wondering if anyone's done that, and is the fact that the spring clip, you know, is missing, you know, the retainer, is that going to be, you know, an issue for why, it does not tune with the knob? It tunes somewhat erratically. Does anybody have any comment about replacing those knobs?
Is the spring clip rattling in the radio?
Or in the control head, as the case may be. It may be, but it's not clear to me that there are not other things that could rattle too. Yeah, it might be, actually, Charlie. But there may be other things rattling as well that are appropriately rattling.
I don't think there's anything that's appropriately supposed to rattle in there. This is the 100D with the separated faceplate?
Yeah, it's 100 with the separated faceplate, but yes.
Okay, take that sucker apart.
Well, I guess I'll have to do that, won't I?
I have to come over there and do it for you?
No. You've shamed me into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ouch. Alrighty. Well, on that pleasant note, getting myself slapped in public, I do have one last thing I thought about, and that was, I had a half watt 2.4 gig amp, and I was wondering, I don't have a clean way of measuring power, per se, but I bought, from the output, because I don't know exactly what it should or should not be doing, but I have a dummy load that I bought at a ham fest recently that seems to have a BNC tap on it. Now, what I don't know is that underneath that BNC tap, is it a capacitively coupled, or I should say inductively coupled probe? Is it hardwired? Is it through a diode of some sort? I have no clue as to what this is, but it's a little, I'd say 25 watt or so, maybe it's a little bit more, dummy load, but basically it's bolted to a piece of aluminum that has then, you know, maybe 8 or 10 heatsink fins, about 1.5 to 2 inches long each. So I was wondering if anyone had ever seen one of these little beasties. They work really well. And before I go, I mean, it's something I obviously have had kicking around for a while, and I haven't had a chance to research what's the characteristic of this BNC, but if anyone's seen one of these things before, I'd be curious as to what I could possibly expect when I use these, because I was thinking of perhaps if it's a rectified output, just taking a microammeter and putting it across there and see if I can read any RF output when I'm on 2.4 gig with this little bidirectional amplifier for Wi-Fi. Okay, that worked real well. On that note, I think we're going to call it quits. Any other questions or comments on that before we secure, or any other additional questions, please call KTBAR. Okay, so I want to thank K2ZO, K2DSL, W4DSA, WI2W, and J1W, and 3CRT, K2AMI, KC2SAV, whose first time was on the net today, interim AG, I'll point out, KC2GIK, Justin also, whose first time was on the net, W2VictorVictorVictor, who I'm surprised doesn't have a way to measure 2.4 gig, but we won't go there, AB2XT, NO2T, WA2CAI, and also your host, W2TTT. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for a beautiful net tonight. It was fun. It was a little more technically gnarly than normal, and I kind of like that, actually. So thank you, and the Bergen Amateur Radio Association, the host of this wonderful net, wishes to thank the Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater. We look forward to seeing you on the Baronet on 10 meters, not 28350, on Mondays at 9 o'clock, or Tuesdays on 443-100, with the PL at 141.3, and also on Tuesdays, and then Wednesdays on 146.79 for the general purpose 2-meter net, and finally on Thursdays back for another technical net. Just as a programming note, we will not have a net on Thanksgiving night unless otherwise indicated. We very well might, but I'm trying to see what we might want to do. But as of now, without some sort of special purpose, I'm not so sure it makes sense to have a net, but maybe it does. So we'll see. So let me take that back and say we may very well have a net on Thanksgiving night. So be aware of that, folks, and let's think about what we could possibly do that might be special or different. And finally, if we miss you on Thanksgiving in 2 weeks, keep in mind that the Barra dinner is the first Saturday. It's the first Saturday of December. There will be no December meeting on the first Sunday of December, though there's a Saturday meeting, which is the dinner at 7 o'clock, and I believe it's at Biagio's. And if you're interested in attending, please get a hold of WB2AIU at AWRL.net, and you can arrange to take your money, which I believe is $25 for the member and $25 for each the first guest of the member. The club underwrites the tickets, as it were. Maybe it's $20. I think it's $20 now that I think about it. I'm sorry. It's $20 for a member and $20 for a member's first guest. And then any additional guests are $25. So it's a fun time, a lot of great camaraderie, and it's a good dinner, too. So on that note, K2BAR will secure and return the repeater to normal amateur use. This is W2TTT.
Good evening.